It's like with a new politician, he has 100 days to prove himself. So let's say you elect a president. A president has promised you golden mountains during the election campaign, and he has 100 days to prove himself.
Hey, podcast listener. You're about to discover insider tips, tricks, and secrets to making more sales and converting more prospects into customers with email marketing. For more information about the Email Marketing Podcast or the Autoresponder Guy, go to dropdeadcopy.com/podcast. Hey everybody, it's John McIntyre here, the Autoresponder Guy, and it's time for episode 24 of the Email Marketing Podcast, where we talk about the top tips, tricks, and secrets for making more sales and growing your revenue with email marketing. Today, I'll be talking to Christina Mand-Lakiani of Mind Valley, Russia, about her five rules of sky-high open and click-through rates. Now, she had a post on Mind Valley Insights, a blog where Mind Valley publishes the results of their marketing campaigns, and her post on Mind Valley Insights is the most shared Mind Valley Insights post on the Warrior Forum. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Warrior Forum is one of the most popular internet marketing forums online, and Christina's post really made a splash over there. So there's some great information that she shares in this podcast episode because it's based on that original post. Now, it's going to be simple, systematic, and actionable. This is one of those episodes where you're going to want to have a pen and a paper so you can write down Christina's five rules, and then you can walk away when you get back to your computer. You can use these rules to improve your email marketing immediately. To get the show notes for this episode of the Email Marketing Podcast, go to dropdeadcopy.com/EP24. Now, you might notice that this podcast is a little bit late. I usually publish at 8 a.m. every Tuesday. That's 8 a.m. New York time. But I'm just over 24 hours late. I've been tying up some loose ends with a business project. And now that that's mostly done, I can get onto this podcast and get this published. So that's the reason it's late. Now, the Email Marketing Podcast has another five-star iTunes review. This time it's from askkamari.com. The headline says, awesome information, five stars. And the review says, this show has been very helpful and inspiring for me. I've been struggling getting my client emails going, and this has provided a spark. Thanks, and keep up the great work. Thank you for the review, askkamari.com. Check out his site. He's a marketing consultant, and he's doing some great work. I just wanted to talk really quickly about pissing people off, the benefits of pissing people off. Dan Kennedy said, the bigger your ambitions, the more likely you are to offend people while achieving those ambitions. And your opportunity to have meaningful impact will be in direct proportion to your willingness to offend. He also said, if you haven't pissed someone off by noon, you probably aren't making any money. Now, I do daily emails. I sell every single day, and I've got plenty of people who tell me I'm doing it wrong, but I am more than happy with the results. So I'm willing to piss people off and make them angry, because I know that it's really getting me great results and it's making some people very, very happy. So I just wanted to touch on that really quick. Some people can spend too much time worrying about trying to play nice. And sometimes in business, you do have to be willing to, you know, let out your dark side. Be willing to offend a few people in the name of achieving your goals. You'll really get a lot of benefit out of it. Now, the Email Marketing Podcast has another voicemail question. This one is from Paul Mort. And Paul Mort says,
hey, John, it is Paul Mort here from the Paul Mort Podcast and IamPaulMort.com. Now, I'm just about to launch my first podcast, and I wanted your thoughts on the best ways to combine a podcast with email marketing. Now, I already email every day and see great success. In fact, I'm super kind of pleased to be able to say that I get paid every time I send an email, which is 5 days a week, which is very nice. Down to some of the things that you taught me and Ben Settle and my friend Andre Chaperone. And I want to know that basically the best ways to use the podcast to grow your email list. Thank you very much, buddy. Take care.
Okay, so just to sum that up, Paul's asking, what are the best ways to grow your email list with a podcast? Now, I just want to start by saying that starting this podcast has been one of the best things I've done for my business. It's created so many connections to different experts. It's opened doors for me. And it's really helping me make a splash in the industry. So if you're thinking about starting a podcast, after listening to this one, you really should get to it. Now, it's a great way to build your email list, and that's why Paul's asking about it. So I'm going to run through a few things real quickly, and then we'll get into Christina's interview. First of all, you got to think about marketing as a bridge. You're building a bridge from where the prospect is now to where that you want them to be, which is your customer. So every step, everything you do in your marketing, from the website to the podcast to the email to the pre-sale sequence to all these different things, they're another step on that bridge, a step on that path. And Everything needs to flow. So basically, think about what's the next natural step. I don't know exactly what your podcast is about, Paul, but you need to think about what's the next natural step. If they've listened to the podcast and they've heard what the podcast is about, what's the next thing they need to know, right? So for me, that means the podcast is about email marketing. So we talk about, I mean, you already know, daily emails, writing sequences, how to write copy, how to write subject lines. So the next step is, well, see how I do it. Here are some daily email tips on how to write email like the autoresponder guy. So it's a very natural step. And then the emails promote my product, which is an email marketing product. So it's a bit of a slippery slope, and it makes complete sense to anyone, and they always know what the next action for them to take is. When they listen to the podcast, I tell them to sign up to the email list. When they get on the email list, I tell them to buy the product. So what you want to do is you want to solve your audience's problems. Make your list the next natural step. Whatever problem they're facing after listening to your podcast, or perhaps they're the same problems, but you can go into them more in depth with email. You want to make the opt-in. Something about that. The way I'm doing it is if you go to dropdeadcopy.com/podcast, you'll see a custom, you know, WordPress category page. And basically, I've added an opt-in to the top of that page, which has everything related to the podcast, plus an opt-in. There is a sign up for daily email tips on how to do email by the autoresponder guy. Now, below that, there are also links to the iTunes store and to Stitcher and a few things like that. So what happens is anyone who listens to the podcast will usually go to dropdeadcopy.com/podcast. They'll look for other podcast episodes, and what they'll also see is his opt-in on every single podcast page, which means that if they're interested in the podcast and they visit my website, it's extremely obvious and easy for them to sign up to my list. So you want to try and do that. So set up a custom category page on your site for the podcast, so anyone who views your podcast stuff on your website has that podcast related opt-in at the top of the page. And you could add that at the bottom, you could add that at the side. Now, whatever opt-in you're using right now might be relevant, and you could just use that. That's more or less what I did. But sometimes the podcast might be slightly different to what your website's about, and you might be better off making a custom offer, changing the offer so it really matches what your podcast is about. So that's really it, Paul. It doesn't need to be very complicated. You just got to think about that. It's going to be that slippery slope of the next natural step. And then it's just about finding ways to get them from the podcast onto the email list. And sorry, the last thing that I forgot to mention is that what I do is, you notice in my intro and in the outro and in, you know, this little banter section is what I call it, this chit chat, you'll notice that I often say, go to dropdeadcopy.com/podcast, go to dropdeadcopy.com/EP23 or EP24 for this episode. And what that does is I'm just finding more and more ways to get people to go back to the site. There are transcripts on the site. Some people want the transcripts. Some people want to hear about how they can learn about how I do email marketing. So you just want to find ways to drop mentions of your website in the show. And then in my outro, it says, if you want to learn more about email marketing, which is totally relevant because I've just listened to a podcast about email marketing, go to dropdeadcopy.com/podcast, sign up for the email list, and you'll find out how I, you know, why open rates don't matter. And, you know, basically I'm trying to make a relevant offer to them right on the tail end of them listening to a podcast about email marketing. So it's very natural. I hope this makes sense. If you have any more questions, feel free to email me. It's john@dropdeadcopy.com. Or feel free to go and send me another voicemail, and I'll answer it again on the podcast. So yeah, that's it for now. Now, if you have a question, go to dropdeadcopy.com/podcast. This is how I do it, right? Click the link on the right-hand side of the screen that says send voicemail. It's super easy. You can record right from your browser. You don't need to call me. You don't need to make any sort of phone call. You just click a button, and then you record with your computer microphone, and then I will answer your question on the show. I will even play your question on the show, which means if you say your website address, it's going to go out to all the listeners of the Email Marketing Podcast. So there's some cool benefits there. Now, I think it's about time we got into this interview with Christina Mandlakiani. Let's go. It's John McIntyre here, the autoresponder guy. I'm here with Christina Mandlakiani, the co-founder of Mind Valley Russia. Now, she had a post on Mind Valley Insights, and it was called Boost Your Open and Click-Through Rates in 100 Days. It was a 20-minute video, and I just watched it last night to kind of prepare for this call. Now, so Mind Valley Russia gets 40% in open rates, 25% in click-through rates, which is really, really high. And this post became one of the most shared posts from Mind Valley Insights on the Warrior Forum, which is pretty badass considering Warrior Forum is one of the biggest online marketing forums on the internet. So we're going to talk a bit about that, a bit about email marketing, and kind of going to go deep into how Mind Valley Russia does it. So how are you going today, Christina?
Thank you. Hi, John. Hi, audience. I'm doing fine.
Good to have you here. So before we get into the email stuff specifically, tell us a bit about yourself.
Yes. So I'm a co-founder of Mind Valley Russia, and that's my biggest activity, although I'm related to Mind Valley, the big company, also for the past 10 years, ever since it's been started. And my expertise in email marketing came from talking to Russian audience, and Russian audience is not as exposed to internet marketing as is Western audience. So of course we had to take it step by step, take it slower. It's like dating a more conservative girl. So basically, considering that we were dating a more conservative girl who is less trusting, more skeptical, is more afraid of being conned and cheated, we had to take it slowly. But we also learned really a ton how to actually build trust from nothing. That's basically my background.
Okay. And you had a really interesting or kind of a funny explanation in the video about how email marketing is just like dating. You get the dates and the gifts and the flowers and the roses. And that's how you guys look at this.
Yeah, we approach marketing like dating all the time. I think the whole point is that it's the easiest to relate to dating because it's human relations. It's the same. Because if we want to sell, it's like getting married. You know, first you have to get to know someone, then you have to like them, and then you have to start trusting them. And only then you can talk about marriage. So it is really very much like dating. Yes.
Okay. Cool. So let's get into it then. So where's the best place to start? Do you think we talked about the five rules? Do you want to just run through that?
So actually, the best way to start is to understand who the person is who you're going to be talking about and talking to. So our first step is actually we are trying to define an avatar. We are not talking about an audience. We're talking about an avatar, like a very certain one person. So it's not like mostly women, 40% men, and in the age range of 35 to 55. We're talking to a specific woman. Our avatar has a name. Her name is Nadezhda. She is a woman. She's approaching 60. We like to choose 56. So we know a lot about her. So that's actually where we start from. We define who we are talking to and we talk to just this one person. So I think when you're building any relationship, that's probably the most important thing. But then from there, the next thing that we have a whole set of rules, how we approach internet marketing, how we approach emailing our customer. We never have any arguments because we have everything so set in rules that when we look at the situation, we know exactly how to what to do. It happens very seldom that we don't know what to do. So the rules are very simple. So first rule is 95-5 rule, which means that in the best internet businesses, only about 5% of people are going to buy, you know, plus minus 3% are going to be your customers. The rest are going to be just an audience, a mute audience. So our first rule is that you give to 100% of your people, whether they're going to buy or not, as much love, content, help, value, as if they're all your repeat customers. That's our first rule. And we are extremely generous to the point where sometimes I have to say, hey guys, maybe we should start charging for that because we are like too generous. So that's one of our rules. The next rule is the 100 days rule, and that comes from my background in politics, and the rule is pretty simple. It's like with a new politician, he has 100 days to prove himself. So let's say you elect a president has promised you golden mountains during the election campaign, and he has 100 days to prove himself. The same with us. So the person comes to our landing page, we promise them a beautiful life, paradise. We have 100 days to prove that we can actually deliver. Of course, if they don't buy, they won't be able to get the paradise, but they have to at least believe that, yes, we are the people to save them. Yeah. So we have, we believe that the first 100 days of your communication are crucial. After that, you pretty much have set yourself in a certain mold and they already treat you in a certain way. So you can make mistakes, you can be silly, you can be faithful to what you have been the first 100 days, but the first 100 days are important. This is when they still don't know who you actually are. So our sequences generally tend to grow to up to 100 days. They're not born 100 days, they're usually born about 2 weeks to 20 days, but we try to get them all to 100 days. Okay. Then the next rule, I'm going now by memory, so I might be lost in my own rules. The next rule is thank you. I'm trying to get fairly fast from them, so maybe we can talk about something juicy and more interesting later. So the next rule is the Louvre effect, and that comes from the idea that if you go to Paris and your only goal in Paris is to see Mona Lisa, and then you get to this humongous building, which is, I think, 4 or 5 stories huge, your only question is, how do I get there? And there is a lot of beautiful stuff. There's a lot of value. There is a lot of things which are really, like, good. So the same with your customer. They come to you. You have a lot of really valuable stuff. You have a lot of really good things, good tips. But you have to guide your customer through this experience because otherwise they'll get lost, overwhelmed. They'll sit down quietly in the corner and start crying and drinking water because they will be lost in your, you know, in your museum, in your wealth of treasures. So when we communicate with our customers, we do not overwhelm them from the beginning. We do not give them everything in the first day or the first 1 week. We take it slowly because, first of all, this is a process where you can educate your customer, you know, like in a school, take them from simpler material to more complicated material. You can teach them that they actually need to solve the problem because they could have come just out of curiosity. So for us, it's super important to pace our content, our value in a way that they can actually absorb it and not get overwhelmed and not want to run away from you. So that's the third rule.
Okay.
And then the next rule is the one which is the most practical problem. It's the rule of balanced diet. And here we talk about three major components in our communication with a customer. Component number one is, of course, content. You have to give content to your people. Without it, you cannot, very few businesses can sell without giving anything first. So content usually takes about 30% of our communication. The second piece is, of course, sales. And that's usually 20-25% of our communication. I think I'm slightly underestimating content. Content is probably 40% of our communication. Mm. So sales is about 20-25%, so it's a little bit less. But we do sell. It's important that it is there. And I don't think there is a need to even talk about the importance of having sales in your communication. Otherwise, why do you do business? But the third component, which a lot of people do not even think about, is engagement. And we, especially in the first 100 days of our communication with a customer, engagement is one of the most important things that we do. And the idea is, you know, you give content to people, whether it's video, audio, articles, it doesn't matter. We give it in all shapes and forms. But people learn to consume it passively. So they read it, they watch it, they listen to it, but they don't do anything. So communication or engagement is important to train your people to actually do something as well. And engagement can be anything. You can ask them to do something simple, even just reply an email. For example, we have a little simple trick. On day two, we send them a small email that says, hey, can you reply very quickly? I just want to make sure that you're getting my materials. Something as simple as that. It's just two-line email. And of course, if the people reply to you, first of all, they get your email address in the good list, in their inbox, because they reply to you. The second thing, they've done action on day two after they subscribe to you. They actually reacted to what you did. Of course, not everybody replies, but still, it's a good training. So the first 1 month, we have quite a lot of engagement, usually about up to 30%. We'd ask them to join our Facebook group. And since we were in Russian market, we actually had to teach them how to join Facebook and things like that. We'd ask them for feedback, for comments, maybe testimonials, a survey to understand them better and also to make them do something. So the idea here is to train your customer to actually do what you ask them to do and engage them. Because then when they receive a sales email, they're already trained. If you tell them, go there and press this, that's what they do.
Take action.
Yes. So these three components are the most important, and we have a pinch of spices to our balanced diet, which is inspiration. We want our customers to feel good while they're communicating with us. So somewhere in the very beginning, we tell them that we believe in them, that they can do it, or some other way, try to make them feel good. So this is the balanced diet. And the final important rule in our sequences in building our communication with our customers is metrics. And this rule is also probably one of the most important. So what we do is that whenever we build a sequence, whether it's 20 days or 100 days, we let a whole batch of people to go through it, usually about like a few months, and then we take metrics from the sequence. We see how the emails are being opened, clicked. Usually an email in a sequence leads to a blog post. So we see also activity on the blog, how many comments are being left, how many likes, shares, and stuff like that. So we look at all of that. We don't do that on a regular basis. We do it usually about once a year if it's an older sequence, or maybe every few months in the very beginning when we're just building sequences. And based on the statistics, we look at the anomalies, you know, whether there is a spike or a dip. And that actually really tells us what to change about the sequence. Because you can guess whatever you like, but it's the people ultimately who show you the way where to go. Mm. So if we see, so the statistics that you were giving are actually a little bit average. Usually when we subscribe people, we believe that a good statistics for a sequence from day one to, let's say, day 30 should be somewhere around 50-40% open rates. Because people have subscribed for you, they have to be interested. If they're not opening, then it's a bad sign. And of course, when people have been with you for half a year and you're sending newsletters once a month, then of course they can drop, and that's okay. But the first month, we believe that anywhere between 50 and 40 is okay. We have sequences where we have 60% open rates for the first few emails. And let's say if that's the trend, that in a month, your open rates drop by about 10%. So if you suddenly see in the middle of the month on day 7, a drop of like 15%, then you know that something is wrong with this email. Mm-hmm. Or if you see a steady drop and then suddenly something spikes, like click-through rate spike, you understand that something is good about this letter. So we reshuffle our sequences eventually. It's a long process, but it's like dating, you know. It's a long process, but if you take it slowly, if you just take it easier and don't worry, don't fret about that, and just trust that people will show you the way, in the end, a few years down the road, you'll have such a killer sequence that, you know, people will just love you. Mm-hmm. Honestly, with me and my business partner, Irina, whatever we offer, they just often buy just because we tell them so.
Wow. Okay. And that's, I spoke to someone last night and he was saying the same thing happens, that he gets people who email him after a big launch for like a $3,000 product, and they'll buy the product and then email him afterwards and they say, hey, I just bought it. What's it about?
Yes.
They're that hooked on, you know, this guy's, you know, authority and the trust there that they're willing to go out and buy it. And that's kind of what you can do with email. I think Vishen explained this when I spoke to him last week, which is where you do this funnel analysis, you drop it into a spreadsheet, and then you rearrange the emails and run the test again and see how that works.
We actually, yes, just yesterday I had a very long meeting with my people. We were rearranging the upsells in our sequence based on statistics. So we do a lot of analysis. We like numbers because numbers don't lie, you know. And actually, internet marketing, that's the beauty of it. It's statistics, you know. You don't even have to guess. It's all there. Yeah. So yeah, when we write sequences, it seems overwhelming, but generally it's not that hard. It's just a matter of taking it step by step. So,
okay.
The steps are simple. So the first step is that you look at your content. You remember this rule of the Louvre effect. So you look at your content and you line it up from simpler to more complex. And I would say from more impressive to maybe less impressive, because you do want to impress them, but it has to be like a simple impression. You're like a simple question that will make them think. Mm-hmm. So you line up this content with maybe, every 2-3 days. So usually the content is on the blog. It's usually video, audio, articles. It doesn't really matter. We have a lot of articles. We have some videos. So you line it up in a certain logical sequence. And for each piece of content, you write an email. And when we write emails, we remember two rules, actually. Rule number one is who you're speaking to. That's the avatar that I was talking about for this one person. And the second rule that you have to remember is what do you want the person to do as a result of this email? So when we write, we are extremely targeted. We talk to one person and we only want one action. So if it's a content email or an email leading to a content, then the action is go there, read the content. Once they read the content, the next action we want from them is, you know, leave the comment or share or something like that, whatever it is.
Okay.
So the next step after you've lined up the content is you add, inject, engagement between this content. These emails are a little bit more complicated, but once you get the idea of it, it will be easy to come up with new ways of engagement. Very simple one is if you send something interesting, some piece of content which is interesting the day before, you could even just ask a question which will not be obvious. You will have to go back and read that content and just remind them about that. So you kind of engage people either into certain action or into certain emotions or into curiosity. The idea is that they are not passive. They actually read and they feel something. Mm. So you interject this engagement. Of course, it's better if you ask them to go and do something, because that's more engagement. Yeah. So after you do that, you add the sales emails. And we, for the first 1 month, we have the rule of sending sales emails once a week. They're very standalone simple sales emails, like, hey, have you noticed we have a guarantee, or like, you know, we are paying for the shipping, like a very simple. The first one actually that we send is question and answer, which is a very straightforward sales email. We just say, hey, a lot of people are asking these questions, so I thought you might have the same question. So we answer the question, we have the sales link in the end. So we send them about once a week the first 1 month, and later when the campaigns start, then there will be a little bit more sales. But we also have sales in the rest of our sequence, but it's like the sales email's goal is to sell, but we have sales present everywhere else. Although our goal is to engage people and make them read, but the sales are there because, like with dating, we don't know when our conservative girl is ready for a kiss. So we are always ready for a kiss. Right. So that's why we always have sales. So in our content articles in the first 1 month, we always have little banner ads because they sell. If you suddenly feel very inspired, you can buy right now. This is number one. Number two, people get so used that we sell, they stop being upset with us because we tell them straight away, yes, we are going to sell, and we sell because we know that it's going to help you. So they stop worrying about that and they take it easy. So we have little banner ads, we have calls to actions. We always, every email has in the signature a link to the sales page. So we interject sales into the whole sequence. And when I was talking... Yeah.
I was going to say, so you got the content emails, their main action in those emails goes to the blog post or the piece of content, wherever it is. And then in the content on the site, that's where you embed call to actions, which go to the sales letter or the product.
Yes, we have little banners which actually picture our product, so people get used to the idea that there is a product and we are selling it. We have calls to action usually at the end of the article, which are related to the content of the article with some pictures which can say like, hey, if you like this article, maybe you want to know more about the, you know, the specifics of meditation, then you can learn meditation in more detail here. And in every email, in every signature, you know, when it says Christina, bye-bye Christina, then in the end, it will be a link to a sales page. So, you know what's interesting? When we were taking metrics of our links, best performing links in our sequence, then in the top 10, there was a link to a sales page, which was from the signature in an inspirational email, which was very surprising. So it was an inspirational email, I think on day 3 or 4, where we just said, you know, I believe in you. I know it seems difficult, but, you know, it's not as difficult when you start doing it. And just there, we no call to action, just bye-bye, Christina, and a link to a sales page. That was the best, one of the 10 best performing links in the whole sequence.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's great. That really shows that, because what people have is they have, you know, when they sign up to the list, they have a barrier or a limiting belief usually about, you know, what's standing between them and you know, taking action and buying the product. And sometimes, like in this case, sometimes they just don't believe in themselves enough. They just need a kick in the ass and a bit of confidence, and then they're going to go ahead and do it.
Yeah. So it's like I said, it's dating a conservative girl. Be always ready. You never know.
Okay, cool. So we've got the steps to create the email sequence, then you program everything into an autoresponder. Are you doing much segmenting, or do you pretty much have like a straight autoresponder?
Ooh, yeah. If I go into that area, we'll need another.
All right, maybe we'll do that another time. But it sounds like you are doing it, though.
We the thing is that we put everything in the spreadsheet first. So all our sequences are in the spreadsheet. And we mark every single step of it because we, you know, it's very difficult with most of autoresponders to actually have a big picture of it. And in my presentation, I usually show the spreadsheets, but they don't usually help people because they're in Russian, unfortunately. We put everything in a spreadsheet, and once it's in a spreadsheet, once the master plan is ready, then our copywriters sit down to writing articles. And I usually prefer writing emails myself if it's super important, because I think people can tell whether it's the voice of the actual author or the copywriter. So yes, later we work based on that. And usually if we plan about 30 days of a sequence, it would take about a week to later program it into autoresponder and of course prepare the articles for the, you know, for the sequence.
So you create the content after, so you plan out the autoresponder and then you create the content?
Well, depending on, because we are a publisher, we actually publish a lot of different businesses. So it depends on the business. If we take an author, usually an author has like a whole suitcase of content. So we just pluck out the content from there and then we build the sequence around that content. If it's something completely new, if we come up with our own sequence, our own content, then we can be a little bit more scientific about that and actually craft the content to be the best way possible for the sequence. So yes, we do the content and then we do the sequence.
Okay. Fantastic. Okay, cool. Well, we're just right on time. So thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it. Before you go though, if people want to learn more about you or Mind Valley Insights or get more information like this, where's the best place for them to go?
So yes, we have a site, Mind Valley Insights, where you can get a lot of different videos and information about internet marketing. I have been there about once maybe. most of the information, most of this knowledge, I'm unfortunately teaching in Russian, so you wouldn't find much in English. So I don't know, I guess unless you're lucky and you get to interview or whatever, then you'll hear it in English. But on Mind Valley Insights, we have a big team of over 100 people. All of them are really awesome in their areas. And, you know, we all know our area the best. So there will be content on different topics, which are very useful.
Fantastic. Okay, I'll link to that down in the show notes at dropdeadcopy.com. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. If you want to discover more insider tips, tricks, and secrets about driving sales with email marketing, sign up for daily email tips from the autoresponder guy. Go to dropdeadcopy.com/podcast. Sign up, confirm your email address, and I'll send you daily emails on how to improve your email marketing and make more sales via email. You'll find out why open rates don't matter and the 7-letter word that underlies all effective marketing and much more.